Well, in the beginning here, just thinking about what to speak about here and so on, Jess had talked kind of about encouraging people to read through the Word in a year. Now, I've done that 5 or 6 times myself. I've kind of lost track of it, but I'm doing it again this year. I haven't done it every year, one after another, but I have done it. And the Word is like really important if you want to get on in your life with God. I want to look at Romans 12:2 here. And in the KJV, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And here's the part I want to get to, verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. That's a little wordy maybe, but I looked over here in the Message Bible. I like to go into different Bibles and they break it down and make it easier to digest sometimes. And it says, so here's what I want you to do. Same verse, God helping you take your everyday ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Isn't that amazing that you're placing your everyday life, you get up and go to work and this and that seems so mundane to you, but you're doing it for Him. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. And now here's the second part again, verse 2. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Yikes. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings out the best in you, develops well-formed maturity in you. That's pretty cool. I like that. That lays out what God expects out of reading the Word and getting into your life. You're going to mature. You're going to be different. One thing here, this is what I use, the one-year Bible to read through. I bought this at Wally World, but I looked and they still sell them on Amazon. They don't have them at Wally World anymore, but like $18 brand new, or you can buy a good copy for like $5, free shipping. But, you know, I used to do the ones where you checked off different things and it kind of bored me. So this just every day you go in there, you get Psalms, Proverbs, New Testament, Old Testament. It's a great thing. It'll change your life. But if you start reading the Word, as soon as you get into the first chapter, you find out the Big Bang Theory didn't make it. It has nothing to do with the Big Bang. God spoke the Word, and the Word became life and formed the earth. You know, a lot of people rely on everybody's opinions round about them. That's their life. Oh, really? That's the way I should think? But God's Word is like rock solid, never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. That's what I liked about this, the Word. When I started out as a young man, we went to church, but usually Christmas, Easter, blah, blah, blah. And I went to confirmation class. I don't even know what the heck that was. You had to fill out some sort of test and flip it in the thing. And I won, but I didn't know what I was doing. But anyhow, so growing up, I never had any reason not to believe the Bible because I didn't even know really what it was. We went to church, the people in the suit sat here and the people in regular clothes sat over here, and it was strange. So my brother, he chased me down when I was in the Coast Guard. He kept going on about being saved and so on and so forth. And I was on a light tower 12 miles out in the ocean, and he sent me a Bible, and I thought, I'm going to throw this thing over the side. But then I thought, man, I'm going to have to lie to him if I throw it over the side. No, I'll just keep it. So anyhow, he sends me a book then, The Late Great Planet Earth, and I got saved through that book. At the end, it just made sense. And it says, do you want to ask God into your heart? And I was like, man, yeah, this is really good. So then the next step up is trying to... Well, what I was saying before, where do you get your counsel from? Is it people in the lunchroom? Doesn't cost you nothing there, but that's about what you get out of it, zero. Yeah, you know what I'd do? I'd take the old lady and I'd throw her out. You know, I'd go out tonight and I'd go drink. You know, all that stupid stuff. It has no basis. But God's word here is just so solid that you can bank on it. What he says in here about your health, your finances, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, it's all true. And it'll all work if you put it to use. But a lot of people don't even crack this shell on this book. And that's one thing, too. This gives you an intimate look. Now, you know, prayer's great and some people go in and out, but if you read this, it's an intimate look into God's head. What is he trying to, you know, this is him right here. This is living. It's alive. You read it. To me, when I read through the word, I'm reading down through and all of a sudden stuff just jumps off the page at me. And that's the part where God says, hey, that's for you. You know, before I might have, you know, it's doing good going in there, but all of a sudden this is something you need to do. And God's word is not always just reading it and, oh, great. God's words work. You have to work to do this. Just like you get in the gym and lift, God's word is work. You have to do something with it. And just like the advice for free is worth nothing, if you don't do any work, you got nothing. So, you know, in John 17:17, I really like that one. That's what really started my, when I moved to North Dakota, I finally got rooted and grounded in a church out there. And I was wanting to grow, and man, this guy's like, he had money classes and so on and so forth. But I was thinking, man, is all this true or whatever? And then I found John 17:17, where says, thy word is, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And that just locked everything in. I from there on out, I took this word as just, that's it, you know. I need to have this word in my life if I want to start changing my life. You know, everything in there. I wrote down here, money, marriage, health, respect, everything's tied in there. You know, the one thing I went to alcohol rehab myself. And you know, the only thing that they allow you to take there is the Bible. That's the only thing they'll let you take. You can't have any other. So, you know, that's high value. Even the world sees that. And Billy Graham, as far as Proverbs go, he used to read those monthly. You read one every day and there's like 31 of them. So he's just kick an extra one in there or whatever. But you'll never weather the storms of life well if you don't have God's word in your heart. You'll get crushed. I don't know how people do it now that I'm where I am right now, and I'm not certainly no powerhouse myself. I am who I am, and I do my best to go along every day, but once again, I'm not perfect, as you mentioned earlier. But, man, this stuff can, I don't know how people get by without it. But I want to look here at Psalms 119:11. I'm going to jump into my other one. That Psalms 119 is an awesome scripture there. The Psalm 119, in fact, I'm going to back it up a little bit here. In verse 9. It says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. And here's where it is. Verse 11, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Have you hid any word in your heart to use? You know, you need something in there so when the something comes up like momentarily, you had the answer for it. Instead of, oh, I got to pray about that. You know, if you have enough living word in you, man, it'll just jump right out for the situation. God says, here's what I showed you yesterday. Use it. Tell a guy. Tell him, you know, whatever it takes. So that's very good. But it says, blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. That's pretty big there. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. You like that just as much as riches. Yeah, I mean, it pulls you. Man, I want to know your word. It says, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Yeah, I love that, man. You got to get the word down in there, get it stuck in there. You know, life is a big minefield, and you end up walking through it. Good things happen, bad things happen. You can't, you know, just like crashing my little car here a couple storms ago. You go up a hill, and all of a sudden you stop dead. It slides sideways, and down the hill you come smashed up. So, but you're going to have the good and the bad. You're going to have to walk through it all. But God's word here lays out explicitly in all sorts of different things about how to get peace, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Peace after you smash everything up and you're like half a mile from your house. But God's word guides us safely through the minefield of life instead of blowing off limbs. A lot of people just, they walk through the minefield of life, you know, personal opinion, do this, do that, I do. Boy, you get some body parts missing walking through the minefield by yourself. But God wants to guide you through that. He doesn't want you going through there. You know, you've heard the thing, experience is the best teacher, but it's not. Somebody else's experience is the best teacher. And this, what this is laying it out for you right now, telling you how to get through your problem without missing parts. Or other than that, I can just start going through it myself, and well, I kind of, looks pretty good over here. Boom, there goes something, you know. So that's not good. Another one of my favorite ones is Proverbs 3. This is like one of my best favorite scriptures ever. Yeah. But it's really good. Proverbs 3, 1 through 13. It says, my son, forget not thy law. Let thine heart keep thy commandments. For length of days, long life and peace shall they add to thee. Well, that's pretty good. You want to add length of days, long life, get some peace? Get God's word down inside of you. So let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about your neck. Write them upon the table of your heart. Talks a lot about getting stuff on your heart. When God's really being serious, he talks about getting it in your heart, down inside of you. And that's not your blood pump. That's your spirit. So shall I find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Isn't that nice? God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. Do you want direction? Get some word down inside you. You'll trust, if once you start trusting in him, to me it was like a father I never had. My dad was a great guy, but he wasn't much on counseling you or doing whatever. So when I found God, I really looked at him as a true father figure. This, my father wants to help me out here. Then it says, be not wise in your own eyes. Don't we see that these days? Wise guys, be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. And it will be health to your navel and marrow to your bones. And then it goes right into talking about the tithe there also. Honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall your barns be filled with plenty and your presses will burst out with new wine. Praise God. That's a good thing. God's word helps us all the way around. And I want to look back and, you know, when you look at people's lives, you can see that just by what they say, what's coming out of them, you're to be a fruit inspector. See what kind of fruit's hanging on their vine. And when they start talking, you certainly do know about it. Good or bad. Judges 6. Yeah. Judges 6, 11. Now that, this is the story of Gideon, which I don't want to go way down through it, but in the book of Judges, the people decided that they'd just go ahead and do whatever they want. And they got in trouble doing that. So their land's getting raided by the Midianites all the time. They're coming through and just destroying the land. They come in and take whatever they want. And later on in the story, though, Gideon will ask, he goes, well, what's the problem here? Well, I guess I'll just read it for you. And the, I'll go down. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak tree, which is with Ophrah, that it pertained to Joash and Abzerite. And Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress. Now, when they were threshing wheat, they were down in a hole, so the raiders that come by couldn't see him. So he's hiding out. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said, "The Lord is with thee, thy mighty man of valor." Isn't that cool? Mighty man of valor. I wish somebody would come up and hit me down at Geisinger and say, "Hey, you're the mighty man of valor." And Gideon said unto him, "Oh, my Lord, if you be with us, then why has all this befallen us?" But if you look back in chapter 6, verse 1, it tells you, said it, "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Midian for 7 years. But he says, and Gideon said unto him, "Oh, my Lord, if thou be with us, then why is all this befallen? And where be all the miracles which our fathers told us about? Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hand of the Midianites." But he called him a mighty man of valor. That is a great thing. But as you read down through here, it says that, "And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of Midianites. Have I not sent thee?" And he said unto him, "Oh, my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." And the Lord said unto him, "Surely I'll be with you, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man." He has to talk Gideon into who he is. And as we, in our lives, as we have God inside us, and we really believe what his word says and so on, we posture ourselves differently in life. We walk upright. We do good for others round about us. We don't have to mope around like, "I'm a Christian, I'll probably never be nothing, and things ain't so good for me." You want to be able to stand up, and you don't have to be overbearing. And some people are overbearing and just puke the Bible on people. They beat them over the head with it and drive them nuts, you know. You just have to be respectable, know the word of God, and be there to help somebody out. And it'll go well with you. But that's Gideon there. He's wondering, "Wow, why is this all this happening to me, you know? I don't see myself as that." But then we'll take a look. We'll take a look at another one here. Let's see. Should have left this note off. There it is. All right. Now we're going to look at 1 Samuel. And we're going to be in chapter 17. This is where David comes down and Goliath there and so on and so forth. Could you imagine that they were standing there for weeks on end, the big guy hollering at everybody over there, and they're all cowering. They don't have the God in them to stand up to the situation. But along comes this young man. Let's just start reading it here. So David came up because his dad said, "Take some stuff up to your brother, see how the war is going, see what's happening there." And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words. And David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, they fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man has come up? Surely to defile Israel has he come up, and it shall be that the man who kills him The king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter, make his father's house free in Israel. And David spoke to the man that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that kills this Philistine? He's asking him again, and takes away the reproach from Israel. For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Now he sees that he doesn't see himself as small. He sees himself in God's eyes. And when he looks out there, that's not the biggest thing, problem going on here. The problem is he's running down God, and I don't like that at all. And we're going to do something about that. But he could have looked the other way and cowered. And the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that kills him. And we'll jump down here a little bit. Down where David's talking to Saul, verse 32. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, that's pretty sad. King Saul, when they anointed him, he was like the big dog in town. He was great. They said, we want a king. God said, well, against my better judgment, give him a king. So all the people wanted to be a king because they wanted to be like everybody else round about him. So they gave him this guy. And he's in the back cowering also. This is the big dog that was supposed to be Israel's king and so on and so forth. He's chicken. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you're but a youth, and he's a man of war from his youth. David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion, a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock, and I went after him, smote him, and delivered him out of his mouth. And when he rose against me, I caught him by the beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them. But he talked out of the kingdom of God. He knew who he was. He knew his place, and he knew Goliath wasn't doing right here. So David said, moreover, the Lord that delivers me out of the paw of the lion, out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto him, David, go, and the Lord be with thee. He was like, okay, I've got no plan here. Go ahead, go get him, kid. I'm right behind you. Yeah. So Saul armed David with his armor, and he put on a helmet of brass. And David checked it out, and he didn't like it. So verse 40, and he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had in a scrip, and the sling was in his hand. He drew near to the Philistine. And this part's really good here. And the Philistine came on and drew near David, and the man bare the shield went before him. And in one translation, it said that his spear was like the beam of a fence. That's a big spear when you're talking beam out of a fence. And when the Philistines looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, ruddy, and a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that you come to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and the beasts of the field. And David said to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand. I'll smite thee, take your head from me, and I'll give you the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day to the fowls of the air, to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Totally different perspective out of that young man versus Gideon. So I find that very interesting. And one of the scriptures I was going to look at also was John 10:10. And I'll just do it out of my head, actually. And that's in the Amplified Version. It says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you may have life in abundance to the full till it overflows, is the way the Amplified says it. But that's what God wants. That's what God wants you to be. He wants you to be in a good position with him, taking everything that he's promised you in here, put it to your life, and you'll come out so much better in life. You can struggle through it on your own, making your own decisions, or you can take God's word and take it to the bank. and you'll be so much better off. And one of the things here, one of the biggest things that when I was looking down some of the basic, like finances, marriage, wisdom, and marriage so often, you know, in 2 Corinthians 6:14, it talks about do not be unequally yoked. Man, it's tough to tell kids that when they're, buddy, he's such a nice guy. Is he saved? No. Well, then that kind of eliminates them right now. You have to have some sort of baseline through God's word to have a good relationship and get equally yoked and be there in marriage. And one of the things I was going to say, too, one of the stories I had as far as when you talked about abortion and so on, during a couple years ago during the one election, I said, man, who would vote for that jack wagon? And this person goes, well, I did. It's like, well, what do you vote for him for? He goes, well, he's got a better business plan than the other guy. I said, but he's for killing children. What's the matter with you, you know? And it was a Christian person, so those kind of things make me go, what the heck? You know, they're want to vote. I didn't really get it. But apparently, there wasn't enough word in them or something. But I'm just so happy to be able to read the word and get it down inside you. The story of Esther was another thing. Esther's a great story, and I've taught the whole book once or twice. But, I mean, she put herself to go before the king. If she went into petition for not all the Jews getting killed, she could have got her head lopped off. And that what I like out of that story is that Mordecai said, maybe you were born for such a time as this. And each and every one of us in this room, we're born right now for such a time as this. Unfortunately, whether you like it or whether you don't, we're born for such a time as this. So what are we doing with the time, with the word, with our finances, whatever, what are we doing to further the kingdom of God? But if you read this daily, get some of this down inside you, you'll grow and you'll grow and you'll be somebody that you never thought you could be. God's word is solid. It'll change you. It takes work. And sometimes I've had things, I've prayed about one thing and something would drop out of the sky and there it is. And that thing take a year till you see it. So it's not a stick a quarter in a soda machine and outroll something. It might take work. And lots of times God wants to change me inside before I get the prize. You know what I'm saying? You see the folks that win the lottery and they're busted. They're busted. Their marriage is blown up. Everything went south. That's because they didn't have the character and the resolve to take on that challenge of that money. But God's word will give you character. He'll give you resolve. He'll give you everything you need to move your life ahead. In Jesus' name.